Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
With each setback, you've still got the underlying asset there, so you just have to work through those processes.
This is Property Investory, where we talk to successful property investors to find out more about their stories, mindset, and strategies. I'm Tyrone Shum, and we're speaking with two-time business owner, seasoned property investor, and professional mortgage broker, Steve Stemp. Growing up all around Queensland, learn about how Stemp has simultaneously grown his portfolio and both his businesses from the ground up since the 80s, as well as the highs and the lows of his journey so far. Stemp is the director of two separate companies, one of which he's been managing for decades.
I'm a director of a company called Dilkey Homes and also a director of a company called Swift Home Loans. Dilkey Homes is it's been operating for a couple of years now. We're sort of started from grassroots and pretty excited with the direction that company's going. Swift Home Loans has been a company that's been established since the mid-90s, primarily a mortgage broker. It holds an Australian credit licence. And between those two entities, keeps me fairly busy.
Stemp's usual day consists of setting meetings and talking with people.
My days sort of roll on from day to day. And so what's involved in my days, there'd be set meetings. They could be with, builders, developers, bankers, just professionals in the property industry, or it could be that I'm assisting someone to arrange finance for the consumer. So once the day starts, it's in front of the computer with emails, address those as quickly as I can, and then pretty much my day has started, and that can be quite varied.
Before getting involved in property or business, Stemp shares where he grew up.
I grew up in Queensland, so on the Sunshine Coast. So I did my primary schooling on the Sunshine Coast, and then my parents, when I was at a younger age, broke up and split up, and I ended up in... Dad, I think, had a vision that he'd always wanted to own a pub, so me and my dad ended up about 500 k's inland, central Queensland, in a hotel, and so I spent quite a bit of my early teens there, and then in North Queensland. So I'm pretty much a Queenslander, south, west, and north. Yeah, so that's a quick snapshot as a child, at any rate.
To this day, Stemp isn't quite sure why his dad wanted to own a pub, just that it was always his goal.
I don't really know, and he hasn't really told me to this date, but he was always a blue-collar worker, worked for the main roads and the electrical company, so it was always hard work, labouring position, and why he chose the destination and that particular hotel, I still don't know today, so...
That's interesting.
Just one of his dreams.
Yeah, one of his dreams. Stemp reminisces on some of his childhood memories from working at the pub with his dad.
It was a town of only 1,100 people, but there was like five pubs and four clubs, and the men were brought up tough, like shearers and drovers, and always remember that we had a a New Year's Eve party there. So I think we had every person from within 200k radius all come to the hotel. So it was sort of bursting at the seams. And there was some funny situations that night. Just township people coming together and celebrating in the end of the new year. I always remember that, because we've never seen so many people come to the hotel. And they all came on that particular night.
After high school, Stemp decided not to continue studying and entered the workforce.
Went into the workforce at a young age. So, did varied jobs. When I left school, which was what they called junior certificate at that stage, so I'd just turned 15. So I became a builder's labourer for a little while, and then we came back to the city, and I was working in Carl. I was doing factory hand sort of positions, and then I was made redundant. And I suppose if we moving across into property, once I finished that period of employment, I was made redundant after about 10 years, and I went into real estate. I think, you know, that was really my first touch in terms of real estate. So I got the salesperson's license, and that was really the commencement of getting into the property industry in a professional manner.
He believes his childhood memories of security helped him focus on real estate.
I suppose before mum and dad split up, I was at that very young age, like, you know, first memories, what I remember is that we never rented. So my first memories were that mum and dad owned the house. So there was that sense of security always as a child. So I think that, you know, that, and mum didn't have much influence, you know, once I, you know, of the age of 10. So, but, you know, it was, felt secure as, you know, as a child. So I think property was always the underlying asset and security position.
After making the decision to enter a property-related career, Stemp hasn't looked back.
Since then, it's been property. I've worked for property developers. And then I moved into finance. So I'd gone to the property, worked for property developers, then took on the role of finance, supporting builders and developers. And, so Swift Home Loan still continues today, from back in the mid-90s, early mid-90s.
Haven't been one for so long. Stemp explains how different it was to be a mortgage broker in the 90s than it is today.
Back in the 90s, there were, not like it is today with aggregators and mortgage brokers in those days, were not paid by banks. So I worked with builders and developers, and from the face value, it looked like I was providing a free service to the builders and developers' customers, and if a sale went through, then I was paid accordingly back then. But obviously, there's been a grand shift in the way that mortgages and mortgage brokers have now been accepted into the community and by the bank. So that's definitely paid and changed in terms of revenue. So that's pretty much how I started off. And I think the first bank that paid an income was in those days the Colonial State Bank of New South Wales. That was the name in those days, and I think it was a $250 fee whether you wrote a $50,000 loan or a $5 million loan, and it was a flat fee. So but it was exciting that the banks accepted the brokers or started to, and then sort of the world changed after that.
This seemed to be a step in the right direction for the mortgage broker profession.
I could still provide that service, but for someone who had a young family and was trying to put food on the table, in those days, you know, being paid by the banks and the acceptance was certainly made it where you could turn it into a professional, you know, a full-time professional career, which it was, and it's how I started out. And And then the trail book comes in behind that. So it's very professional and very regulated, and it's definitely moved in the right direction.
Stemp also describes how technology has changed how he does his job over the years.
I was telling somebody the other day that the frequency of me of being face to face in front of an applicant this day is, it's becoming more and more limited. Like, because we have got this great technology and the identification, and especially if they've been clients within my database, and the identification process has already been completed, and an existing client of the bank, and that process is technology is just amazing. So a big difference from when I started, and the hard copies, and press hard and sign here.
Stay tuned after the break, where we'll learn how Steve Stemp got started on his property investment journey.
I actually bought a property when I would have been about 20, I think. And I was very, very green. I was single, had savings and surplus cash each week, and life was just fine. So I thought I might go and buy a property.
Hear the strategies of Stemp's investment decisions.
I've invested in real estate that were underlying businesses. So I've invested in aquaculture, and I've invested in childcare, and I've invested in the mining towns.
The proof that sometimes investments don't go always to plan.
And unfortunately, you can't insure it. There's no insurance against it. So it's one of those ouch moments.
All this and much more after the break. I'm Tyrone Shum, and you're listening to Property Investory. Stemp got into property in his 20s, which helped him to decide to enter into real estate as a career later.
I actually bought a property when I would have been about 20, I think. And I was very, very green. I was single, had savings and surplus cash each week, and life was just fine. So I thought I might go and buy a property. And I was very, very green, and I only bought it on an emotion and impulse. So I bought four acres, and I held that for a couple of years, and unbeknown to me, that 4 acres was sitting on two titles. Like, so that's how green I was. So the $25,000 investment turned into $48,000 investment in a 2-year period, and I thought, okay, this property game looks interesting, and it's paying off, and it's profitable. But as I say, it wasn't until luck at that point, because I had no idea. So it wasn't until I got into real estate, and that was probably the catalyst that I wanted to then understand and work out how it all worked. And that's why I think I went into the real estate profession.
His experience working in real estate affected how he looked at buying and selling property.
When I commenced real estate, then I developed relationships, and I was selling property to developers that were purchasing the houses and then cutting blocks off the back, and basically then reselling the front house for the same amount that they had originally purchased. So they were getting the back lot pretty much for free. So that was my second purchase. So once I saw that they were doing, once I could see what they were doing, then that was my second purchase. So, that worked out well as well.
After his first emotional property purchase in his 20s, it only took a few years for Stemp to gain the knowledge and confidence to make his second, more purposeful purchase.
The first purchase would have been in the early 80s, and the second purchase would have been in the late 80s.
Stemp claims to have learned these development and selling tricks through his experience with property developers, as these techniques weren't yet well known to anyone else.
Primarily through property developers. So if you came across a particular property, you could make that one call, and you knew that property was sold. So it was pretty much as, but I, yeah, it wasn't known as much publicly. Like, that particular developer didn't have to compete with too many. He was in the marketplace, and most of the agents would ring in direct to affect the sale.
Yeah, okay, that's really interesting. And since then, have you kept that those properties, or are they still in your portfolio?
No, they've been sold. So the first property sold, and they've both been sold. Three. So I cut the back block off and sold them entirely.
At this point, Stent focused on simultaneously growing his mortgage broking business as well as property portfolio.
I focused on my mortgage business, but I bought properties in that time through that process as well. So, and I'm still holding property that I bought in the early 90s. And I've bought speculative properties with developers in the past, but they were bought and sold. That was the purpose. They were to be bought and sold, and sometimes it was to assist the developer to move an estate along, or there'd be a relationship with builder and developer.
Stemp has clear goals and criteria when he is investing, although, as he learnt, sometimes things don't always work out as you planned.
I've invested in real estate that were underlying businesses. So I've invested in aquaculture, and I've invested in childcare, and I've invested in the mining towns, I purchased property with the view to developing in mining towns, and I purchased on the property on the way up, and then it collapsed before I could get back out. I was close to removing myself from there, but anyway, the timing was unfortunately not on my side, and I still hold those properties today, although the signs are that it is an improving market. Whether it'll get to the levels of sustaining. I'm also holding assets when they don't cost. In this case, it's still currently costing.
He now believes wide research on the particular area is always important when investing.
Those real estate purchases were done based on businesses and industries instead of the sound logic of geographical area and supported by populations and industry.
Yeah,
across the board.
Stemp explains how he got involved in this deal and shows that even with research, real estate is sometimes unpredictable.
I made the conscious decision that I would get my toe into that market, and I was only going to do the one property, and thought the opportunity was better than so I went into three. So I don't think it's all. I think it's, if I could take it back again, I'd obviously limit the risk and the commitment into those areas that I felt that I researched to the nth degree, had all the meetings with all the right people, so just overcommitted into a higher risk area.
While this was an unreliable investment, Stemp has another moment that he claims is his worst investment decision.
I invested into a prawn farm, I think it's well known that in the southeast here we got the white the prawn got the prawns got the disease in the southeast Queensland. So again, researched and all the best of information, but the white spot that wasn't expecting that one.
Yeah, how do you overcome situations like that? Because, you know, diseases and stuff like that is really, to be honest, out of our control. It is.
Yeah. Yes, and we hadn't had the disease, and unfortunately, you can't insure it. There's no insurance against it. So, again, yeah, it's one of those ouch moments.
Yeah. Okay. Why?
But the underlying asset's still there. So,
But why did you invest into that particular asset there? What was appealing about it? Was it a good return? Was it a good capital growth?
Yeah, it was. With those farms in those areas, there's a number of them. They're all backed by pretty much complete buyout by Coles or Woolies. So in the finance, I get to see the financials and you know, it's the profitability and the contracts that were in behind it in terms of the income and the revenue from the property. So it all looked very good. But along came White Spot.
Despite the setback, Stemp still holds this asset and is currently looking at how to diversify his investment.
We're looking at different markets now to produce other type of marine. So, yeah, we're looking at a particular fish at this current time. So, it's a difficult process because you're trying to manage, you know, can the prawn industry kick off again, or do you go straight into another market, which you have to research? So
yeah,
that's happening now.
Okay. And with something like that, would you have to invest more capital into it to change how the farm works and functions to be able to?
Not a great deal. No, it's already an existing hatchery and the ponds are all set up. So no.
That's good. Well, I mean, then there's opportunity there.
All there is. Yes. So with each setback, with the mining area and with this, you've still got the underlying asset there. So you just have to work through those processes.
On a more positive note, Stemp believes his working relationships with people was the most significant catalyst in his investment journey, causing everything to click into place.
I think that the aha moments, I think it's just the relationships that you form, like, have had, you know, good success where you're working with other professionals, so you don't make if I'm working with land and I'm working with builders, and then we can come to some form of property transaction, I found those to be, you know, they work effectively because they're experts in what they do, and I think it's the relationships and trusted in good source of information and the people that you work with. If you just work through and understand the investment, I've found they're the best results.
Stemp reiterates the importance of knowledgeable people in getting good investment results.
Have people around, smart people, and trusted people as your source of information and people that you want to work with. And generally speaking, you get positive results.
And how he's gone about surrounding himself with these trusted people.
For me, that's just come through time. Being in the lending and the banking industry and relationships, but I've been to, you know, listen to people over the years and you take bits and pieces from each time you go, and then you you'll be drawn and ask questions and you're feel comfortable with them and the information they're giving you, and to double check that, cross check that, and then you'll form that relationship where you say that person's professional and they know what they're doing.
Join us on a future episode of Property Invest Story, where we learn more about Steve Stemp and his investment strategies.
I've held property currently, but in the most part, I've maximised the benefits from the land purchase and developed and moved on and sold.
How his business helps investors.
And that makes it easier if for your investors moving forward, that it's actually not a drain on your income.
The best advice he can give to new investors.
Hold assets if they're not costing you, and you make your profit.
All this to look forward to and much more on a future episode of Property Invest Story.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.